I listen to the banter.
He tuned in for 30 seconds
Brad
a week.
Turned on and we listened for a minute 13 and was like, don't hurt.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here for week number 5 of 8. Acts of the, not the apostles, although they were involved. Acts of the church. I said Acts of the Apostles last week. Apparently I've been saying Acts of the Apostles quite a bit, but it's Acts of the church. And you brought home week 5. Glad to have you back up there. And why don't you give us your sermon in 60? What did we talk about?
So we talked about problems in the church. And, you know, it's easy to look at the early church and think, man, they had it all together. And they did. They did at some level. But even in the midst of all the goodness, there was issues that arose, and they had to fix them, adjust them. And so one of the major issues we focused on was Ananias and Sapphira and then the problems with the Jews, and we brought them under one umbrella of just, like, selfishness. Yeah, mm-hmm. Too much focus on self and how, as a church, doesn't matter what church it is, there's going to be problems, and how we respond to those problems will determine how healthy and how successful our church is. And so we talked about, hey, we got to remind ourselves the church isn't about us. It's never been about us. And how do we get over that natural tendency to make it about us? We ask God for a heart, a humble heart for him, and a compassionate heart for others.
Mm-hmm. So I often ask, what did you leave on the table? I could just as equally ask Dr. Michelle Gehringer, who's joining us today on the other side of the couch, for those listening and can't see, what do you wish Drew included? I just blindsided you with that question.
Interesting question. So, I think one of the comments that I made at pre-preach was, we should talk about community groups because, and I'm not sure if he's going to add that or not, but community groups are...
Yes, we do record this on
community
Thursday.
Groups are where we do a lot of that caring for one another. So obviously the format of the early church is really different than the way that we have organized and structured our church here in the modern day. And so I think when we think about caring for one another, it's who has access to community groups. Are there people or groups of people in our church that struggle to maybe physically attend community groups? I know you do online groups. Mm-hmm. And so those are like some of the structures that we do to try to care for people that maybe can't show up at the building or don't have access. And would therefore be overlooked. So who are the people who are vulnerable to being overlooked? And then how can we care for them and care for their needs? And a lot of that happens through community groups. So that was just those are some of the things I was thinking about as Drew was preaching.
Yeah, I was talking to you before, and because my mind immediately went to you with, you know, like compassion and beyond, but then you were reminding me, hey, this text is really focusing on how we care for our own. You know, much of your ministry is international or in the community out there reaching beyond means beyond the walls of the church. So what's the opposite of beyond? Inside, right? Yeah. We're talking here about how well we care for those, you know, inside.
Well, and I think if you like ask what I left on the table, I think just like being able to nuance both stories, I would love to preach both stories individually. Because I think if you study the widows, I think you could get a little bit to some of the things we do beyond our walls. Because we even talked about it at pre-preach that this was solving a problem that was in the community as well. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, you almost cast this vision to our staff. Again, a little bit of inside peek. We had an all staff lunch, and you know, Michelle talked about one of our partners for Beyond. That's we're going to be giving some more information on coming up for Home for the Holidays. Yep. And one of the things you cast is, man, the community, our world, should come to the church to solve problems. And we see that here in the early church, where there was a problem in society that the early church had as well. They brought some systems to solve it, and it affected the community as well. Yeah. And I would love to be able to nuance that in this message. Obviously, you can't always.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're looking for, right? Like, where do we see God transforming the way that we interact with one another, and then from our unity, like having Greeks and Jews being together, that was really, really challenging. And having them not only get along, but having people begin to enjoy and celebrate each other's differences and care for one another, that unity brought transformation to their lives and then was attractive and attractional to other people to then want to come and join the church. Yeah. So that's where we saw priests started joining the church. church in great numbers and people were being drawn to the Lord because they're seeing, whoa, something's going on over there that we're not able to solve. So what can we find from the church that we're not able to fix ourselves?
Yeah, I think for me, one of the big questions over this whole series is we're kind of looking to the early church and say, why did this ragtag bunch take over the world, right? Why was it so contagious, so explosive? They go from being oppressed, you know, by the Roman Empire to capturing the Roman Empire. And even the you know, Acts moves from Jerusalem to Rome. It seems like, you know, Paul's got his sights set on the seat of power and just bringing the gospel. But why would it be so contagious? Why would it expand? I think this is a huge part of it. Look at what was happening inside the church and how counterculture it was. I love it when the church, you know, solves problems in the community rather than creating problems with the community. We've done plenty of that too. We've done church badly.
And there's like the fact that the gospel is transformational for the way that we see and view Jesus, for our future, for our forever, but it's also transformational for the ways that we live and interact with one another right now. Yep. And I think, Drew, you've done a great job of bringing that up multiple times the past couple of months. It's all about what will happen in the future, what that transformation looks like in the future, but also how we live that out and play that out in our day-to-day. Mm. And I think that this passage, especially the second story that you told, really kind of plays on that.
Yeah.
Seems like we're working in reverse here a little bit because we talked about, well, there's two stories that were addressed, Ananias and Sapphira and the problem with the widows. And I love how it was unified, you know, both problems, both response was important, but both issues of selfishness, humility, really in the first story before God and loving God. I love that you tied it to the great commandment, you know, there. And then the second story tied to the second commandment to love, you know, to love others. We were talking a bit about, well, we can see why the church would grow or be attractive in that second story, right? Here's people who really love each other, really sacrifice for each other. And we see many stories in the early church about the ways people loved one another. But what about that first story? How does that help the church? It's a very sobering story. It's a story of judgment. It's a story of holiness. It's a story of sin. And did that play a part in the church growing?
Yeah, I think if you look at both stories, I think you could say one was for the church, the insiders, and then one was for more for the outsiders.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first story, I think the church, the people of God, the people who are committed to God, I think God sent them a message.
Mm-hmm.
Take me seriously.
Yeah.
Take sin seriously.
Yeah.
How could you not, right?
Right.
Because I think we all would agree, we read that story and we're like, wow, I'm glad God doesn't do that to me. Because I can look at times in my life where circumstances are different,
right?
And he showed me grace. And I think you said it well, preach, Brad, I don't know exactly how you said it, but like 99 times out of 100, God gives us grace. But there's that one time where he pours out his wrath on sin. And we see that. And you even see the response. The church felt fear.
Yeah.
Okay. And not I'm terrified of God fear, but also like a holy reverent fear of like, we're talking about God. And I think we forget that. We make God God's my friend. And yes, he is your friend. And God is on my side. Yes, he is. But he's also holy.
Yeah.
Perfect and hates sin.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's got to pour his wrath out on it.
Yeah. I think C.S. Lewis has that line in Narnia that Aslan is not safe. Aslan represents Jesus you know, in the stories in the Chronicles of Narnia, but you know, he's wonderful, but he is not safe. And I think that's the message I receive there is, you know, and out of those 100 times, you know, 99 times out of 100, yes, he shows mercy, but 100 times out of 100, he has a right, you know, to exercise his holiness, you know, and his judgment. But message received, you know, for me is just, I just don't take my sin seriously enough, you know?
Well, I think it's hard for us as humans to reconcile those two things, gracious and wrath, right? These are, they're opposites, but they're opposites for us because we are sinful people.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is not. And so I think that separates. For God, the distinction is clear. For us, it's muddied because we are filtrated with sin and we can't see clearly. Mm-hmm. God sees perfectly. And yeah. so we can't reconcile those two actions. God does easily.
Mm-hmm. And I think grace can become misunderstood if there's never, ever any punishment. It can look like affirmation.
That's good.
And like,
good
it's
point.
Okay if you do anything because I love you.
Right.
If there's never a time where God says, no, this is sin and I punish sin because I'm a just God. And if you do something against my people, then that is, you know, then that's something that's deserving of judgment. And I think that there's this story, I don't see a lot of people dropping dead from their sin in the modern day church that I'm noticing at church services these days. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
Praise the Lord for that.
Praise
right?
the Lord. We certainly do sin and do these kinds of sins where you're doing a good thing and then you're like hiding a piece, you know. So there's definitely a piece of this where it's like you're doing something that looks good, but actually you're lying or you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I think that sin is just, it's like cancer. Like you were preaching on that a couple of months ago, Brad. Yeah. Sin is like a cancer, and when it begins to grow, it metastasizes all over in all different spheres of our life. And like in 1 John, we have to continue to try to walk in the light. Yeah. We're not necessarily going to do it right every time, but when we do it wrong, we got to repent and get back on that light pathway. Because if we're walking in darkness, it just starts to take over. Yeah. And I wonder if part of this is just God trying to protect that early church from sin entering in at these early, early stages that could have really broken it apart.
Right. Yeah. I love so many good points in there, Michelle, that I love. But yes, to be, I mean, sometimes I think Jesus is my friend. Of course he is. And we forget how nearly impossible that is, how amazing that is. How can a holy God be friends with a sinful person like me? But just to be reminded, we're reminded of the sin, we're also reminded of the holiness, and we're reminded of the love that crosses such an incredible
I like
gap.
That picture too that you said, Michelle, of God as a father protecting his kids, right? And he sees maybe something that could seep in, and so he eliminates it. Right. And sometimes I know this as a dad, I have to eliminate something from creating a bigger mess. And again, these are things that, as humans, we can't see, but God can. Like, if I allow this to hang around, it's going to get worse.
Right.
And so I'm going to protect my people and I'm going to protect my church. And if you think about it, like, Ananias, Sapphira, we're like, wow, they died. Wow, God. But do you realize that God gave up his one and only son for the church? Mm-hmm. So like, if you put that in comparison, it kind of like, okay, God cares dearly about this. And if he sacrificed his son, don't you think he's going to protect his church that his son had to die for?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I heard someone say once, if you don't think love and wrath coexist, you have not been a parent. Mm. Because, and I think Tim Keller also says, I'm sure I've said it before, but wrath is a determined set opposition or hatred for that which is destroying what we love or who we love. So the wrath is because there is something, I mean, we're pointed in a horrible direction or there's something bad coming. God, turn around.
Yeah.
we need something different.
And does God throughout the Bible give us pictures of what's ultimately to come? It would be weird for God not to pour out his wrath at some point throughout scripture. And then at the end of when he comes back to just throw wrath without us seeing pieces of it. Because God's wrath is going to be poured out at the end of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think he gives us pictures of why his wrath is poured out ultimately because of his hatred for sin.
Yeah. Drew, you had sort of an application in there. You were talking about getting versus giving.
Yeah,
getting versus giving. So why do we come to church? Do we come to church to get? Do we walk in the door to be served? Get some good tips for life or have our kids taken care of or whatever? Or do we come to give? So I want to give you a chance to talk more about that. Yeah. And then I want to push back on it.
Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with, gathering as the church and saying, man, I want to receive from the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. At some level, you do show up to get. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, though, I think we've taken that too far, mm-hmm. right? Where we think the church is for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's inaccurate. I think the church is here for God's glory and God's purposes. Mm-hmm. And so some of his purpose, what's amazing is if you show up to church to give, you usually get. Mm-hmm. But if you show up to church to get, there's a lot of times you don't give. And so I believe if we walked in with the mentality of, I'm going to give God what he deserves, his worship, his adoration, that's the purpose of me gathering to set that example, I will get in return. Mm-hmm. That's the way God works.
What do you hope to get out of church, Michelle?
Oh, I want to say, I just think the scientists have this right. So when you go to a scientific conference, you show up with your poster, your research, and then everybody else shows up with their poster or their presentation and their research. Everyone shares, everyone learns. And when we talked last week about spiritual gifts, God gives the church, everyone in the church, these different gifts, mm-hmm. and we all show up and bring our gifts, mm-hmm. and everybody gives a little bit of it, everybody receives a little bit. Yeah. You receive maybe a message or a teaching, you receive the worship, maybe mm-hmm. you're giving by preparing the coffee, maybe you're giving by being on the worship team, but you're a part of this back and forth situation. Mm-hmm. And that happens on Sunday morning when we gather. It also happens at community group when we gather, yeah. and mm-hmm. somebody's encouraging you and you're just like, they have the gift of encouragement because I'm feeling God refresh me through their words, and mm-hmm. I haven't felt refreshed all day, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I felt refreshed yesterday, but then I got dry again. And then God sent me somebody from my group to just bring me back, you know, and just maybe I'll need it again tomorrow, but the church is still going to be there for me. So I can go back to that. I can text them and say, give me a word. I need something today. Do you got a verse? Do you have a song? Like, what can you give me? Because I need to receive and I need to give. Mm. So I think the scientists just have a handle on this, yeah. that we can use for the church.
Yeah. I love, you're really well illustrated what Drew said is like when it's a giving fest, everyone's coming to give, then there's plenty that people
I just think there's an imbalance in the church of mm-hmm. getting, like mm-hmm. we live in a consumeristic culture. And so we constantly are thinking like, oh, what can that give me? How can that make my life better? How can that? And I just think that's the opposite mentality of what Jesus had, mm-hmm. right? He gave his life. And right. so when we give, when we come in with that foundation, we get way more. Mm-hmm. But when we come with get, it's so narrowed that I think we miss out on so much.
Yeah, and we also look to each other to get from each other or to get from this corporate entity of mm-hmm. this individual church versus saying in a posture of humility together, God, what can you give to, what do you have for us? So mm-hmm. we're looking to each other instead of looking to what God has for mm-hmm. us.
Yep.
And I see a lot of, I mean, when you do have that focus, which time to time I have on me getting, you know, it turns me into a very critical person, you know, very cynical person, you know, very, you know, it's just suspecting the motives of others, whatever, you know, it's just, it's so much sweeter, you know, to be in a place, you know, of giving. And again, knowing that we're just paying forward, you know, what he's done for us. So, any other thoughts on, getting versus giving. I love that. I think the one thing that was occurring to me when I was thinking about that was, because we do come to church to get, but we focus on the wrong things we want to get.
I think that's a good question. Do we come to church to get?
That was my sense of pushback, which I thought you actually diffused very well when you started to answer the question, because you said, of course we come to get, you know, from the word and stuff. Because
I'm not sure the purpose is to get, though.
So when Isaiah stepped in, Isaiah 6, and Isaiah steps into the temple, did he come to get? He get something?
Yeah, I'm not saying you don't get something. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between getting something and the purpose of something, mm-hmm. right? You can have a purpose of something and have other things that happen outside of that purpose. I think the fundamental purpose of the church is to worship mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. give God glory. Mm-hmm. And out of that... Yeah. I will get. Mm-hmm. When I give God what he is due, mm-hmm. I'm going to receive.
Anytime you're in the presence of, you're getting close to the presence of God with mm-hmm. other believers.
I just don't believe the purpose is to get.
Sure.
I think the purpose is to glorify God. And mm-hmm. out of that, I mm-hmm. will get all that I need.
It's right. Where your eyes are facing. It's not what we're doing. What is very similar. It's just, are you focusing on what am I receiving? Are you focusing on on God, the reason we're together?
And I think it's also a rearview mirror, right? We're celebrating what we've already gotten. We don't come to get because already have, right? We already have been made part of the family of God. We've already been forgiven.
Yes. Now, maybe for like someone who is outside of the church, someone who doesn't know Christ, maybe they do come to church to get, right? They're coming to get hope, life, you know, all these things. But I think
we meet them where they are, right?
Them exactly where they are. But that, I think, is outside of the purpose of the church, because the church is children of God. And so they've already gotten all that they need through Christ.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, listen, I know you got a couple more weeks, so here in the Acts of the Apostles,
It's because the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. Yeah. So we did kind of like switch it on you. So
I've heard an
Acts of the Church.
And I've heard an alternate title for Acts, which is Acts of the Holy Spirit. I like that one too.
Hey, but aren't you glad that God didn't strike you down?
Yeah. Oh,
I've made so many mistakes. I'm up to 99. I don't want to hit that 100th mistake where I get struck down, but listen, we are so glad you're here for Acts of the Church. Acts of the Church. 5 weeks down, 3 weeks to go. Drew, I know you got a couple more weeks to share. Really looking forward to where this series is going. Thanks, Michelle, for your contributions. Please come back next week.